Greetings and welcome to Inside Baseball with Old Chestnut. I am Liam Allen with Morris Sachs. How you doing, Morris?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, well, we had a wild week here. As you know, we touched on it briefly on Sunday night when you dismissed the notion of discussing game stock for an hour because you said, I have to look myself in the mirror. And that really resonated with me this week as I, like you said, kicked around in GameStop. I participated in the idiocy, because I was ahead of the curve. I was aware of this last week, and Monday and Tuesday went well. Wednesday went sideways, and then Thursday and Friday, it all went down in flames.
Oh, no.
Right, exactly. And I obviously, like the rest of the Reddit army, point the finger directly at Robinhood, maybe rightly so, maybe wrongly so. But needless to say, it was just bananas. And to me, it's been the most exciting week in the market that I've participated in, and just... I mean, the fact that I'm getting emails at 4:30 in the morning with the after hours price being up 200%, it's insanity. And like you said, it just doesn't make sense. So if I could just chronologically go through what I experienced, and then you can sit back and laugh and say, I told you so.
Okay.
Yeah. So... I mean, I guess it started for some people a while ago on this Reddit forum, Wall Street Bets, which is quite frankly a dumpster fire. It's primarily emojis and grammatical errors, but you can't argue with the fact that they drove the price of GameStop up to, 800% year to date, whatever the statistic is. Like a good friend that I am, got on the phone and told my other friends, hey, I hope you're paying attention. Get involved in this.
Oh, so you've been providing investment advice.
As long as nobody's listening. Yes. Yes.
It's just us talking here, Liam.
Right. Exactly. I feel like the SEC might have bigger fish to fry maybe this week. Isn't that how it works? Aren't you supposed to tell your friends, hey, I got a tip and you should act on this? And so that was fine. When it started to become a problem was when I started
started losing money. That's
exactly.
When it became a problem. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I can't tell you how many times I had to text somebody and say, hey, look, I gave you the tip. I can't give you the buy or sell call. It's up to you at this point. Which I think is fair, and they agreed with me on that. And I got out when it started getting shady, probably Wednesday or whatever. But it was fun. I mean, I'm sitting watching Yahoo Finance, and it's like a slot machine watching the numbers go up and down. But the whole time in the back of my mind, I could hear you say, I have to look myself in the mirror. I can't be kicking around on GameStop.
I'm sorry. I'm confused a little bit. It was the objective of this thing to have fun, or is the objective
to
make money?
It was research for this podcast. I just wanted to be involved so I could, communicate my firsthand experience.
Or put another way, you were able to make a bunch of several rookie mistakes that we can go over and try and not get you to do those again.
Right. I look, the silver lining is I learned a lesson, and the lesson is I can't be kicking around in GameStop.
Because this is your full-time job, right? Trading?
Trading.
This is what you do. Okay.
Right,
good.
Exactly.
And you don't, it's commission-free.
Right, in theory, yes, exactly.
Awesome.
Until Robinhood locked me out.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's been on the news ad nauseum. It's been dissected and analyzed to death. But my understanding is everything was going in the favor of these Wall Street Bets guys that are driving the price up to squeeze the shorts out. So when they drive the price up, the shorts have to buy the stock to get out. you know, they ran Melvin Capital into a problem where they needed to get bailed out by Steve Cohen and .72 and Citadel, which seemingly has a little bit of a conflict of interest when you read that story. But my understanding was they stopped it on Friday because there wasn't enough money in the casino cage to pay the gamblers out. Is that, without getting into too much inside baseball?
I don't have an opinion on on the financial situation of Robinhood. You know, there's so much, Liam, we can unpack here. We want to learn our mistakes, or is this a Liam Allen therapy session? No. I'm happy with either.
I've come to grips with it. I've taken the lesson. Okay.
I just want to make it clear. If I have to prescribe medication, I need an MD to sign off on it.
Right.
Are we good? Okay. So let me say a couple of things. Oh, and by the way, I want to hit this one point first off. We had a lot of great comments from listeners about our first podcast. And while Liam and I think both felt it was pretty rough, I think there are a couple of gems in there. And certainly Liam and I had fun. And to know that some people out there enjoyed it, it's terrific. I did take to heart the comment from, it was Hook and Ladder 50 from the Bronx. Okay. They commented that my language is a little rough, so I'm going to work on improving my language, because those first responders, some of those words, they can be a little offended. So, guys, I apologize. Anyway, let's back up and talk about what you call the dumpster fire. Okay, so one of our good friends from the riding group, the hotel turned SPAC maven, the other day sent me a link to the first sort of analysis of GameStop by the ringleader over there. What's his name? Is like Pussy something or
Roaring Kitty?
Sorry.
Right, you're close.
One cat's the same, right? Okay, and the guy, if I have this right, is a chartered financial analyst, CFA. Correct. Now, it's not as hard as being a CPA, which I am, and my wife is, and my middle daughter's in the process of becoming one, but CFA is pretty good. But anyway, this, I'll say kid, but because he's in his 30s, but this young man did a very thorough analysis, which our cycling buddy sent me, and his email heading said something like, "I wish I saw this 4 months ago." And when I read through the first couple of pages in the deck, I'm like, this is a great risk reward trade. Okay. So this thing started out as a trade that, if we take a look at for a second, I think is incredibly instructive. So what the fellow did was he looked at the research on the company and discovered that the stores pre-COVID were all generating positive cash flow, meaning they weren't turning into the next Barnes and Noble. They were actually making money, which making money is a big deal, right?
Sure.
As you look back on your trade from last week, now all of a sudden seems to resonate with you, right? Okay. So that's number one. Number two, he looked at the number of shorts that were in the stock, and they were extraordinarily large. I think he might have said that they were, historically the highest he's ever seen.
Okay.
And then I guess, I'm not sure, but I think the guy who started Chewy the board. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I want to say, I think I read that guy bought some of the stock himself.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. So now we've got the kind of the kindling put together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what this fellow did, tell me his name again. I'm sorry.
Kevin Gill, his actual name is Kevin Gill, but his.
Okay.
Okay. His stage name is Roaring Kitty.
Okay. Well, you know, there's only one
Kevin. We'll use Roaring Kitty.
Yeah, because there's only one Kevin in our life, and that's right. Kevin Muir, right?
Right, okay. Obviously. Yep.
Okay, so Roaring Kitty then says, well, we've got all these positive things for the company. So what would be a catalyst to make the stock go up? And one of them would be a private equity takeover. One of them would be some kind of huge video game that a new company could come up with that was a big hit that would stimulate demand. Another thing might be that there were so many insiders that were long and there was such a huge short that just the nature of the regular shorts covering could push the price of the stock up. So once again, you know, what we today view as a dumpster fire started out really in something that I would like to say I figured out because I thought it was genius. Okay. So it gets better or worse, depending. If you're that, the what was the Maven Capital?
Melvin Capital.
Yeah. You know, when you talk about hubris, you know, there's this German word out there, Schadenfreude.
Absolutely.
Well, maybe you saw that the guy from Melvin Capital just bought a $44 million house in Florida. Yeah. ouch.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. It's like, honey, I'm home from work.
Yep. Yep. I just got taken down by the internet army.
I got some good news and bad news.
Right, right.
What's the good news? Hey, you don't have to unpack all those boxes. Yeah. Yep. That's the good news? Yeah. And the bad news.
Right, right.
Okay. So anyway, I'm old. I've confused myself. What were we talking about?
Okay. Melvin Capital. Oh, okay. I know where you're going with this. Him shooting his mouth off, right?
Okay. Well, I don't know that part of the play so much. But you had all these positive dynamics with the short interest, the positive cash flow. Then you have the potential things like a private equity takeover or insiders buying their short, buying more, or the just the regular short guys covering the short. And here is whether it's luck or skill, or that luck is where preparation meets opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. These guys went out and they bought a ton of out-of-the-money calls. And so what happens is when a guy like you or I goes and buys a bunch of calls, there's generally a market maker or a professional on the other side of our trade. So they'll sell us the options. And as the price of the stock moves in our favor, the guy who sold the option, he has to trade that back and forth to try and eke out a bit of a profit from his short sale on the option. That's called delta trading.
Okay.
And what happens is so much of the Wall Street guys bought these out of the money options. The demand for stock to hedge those options became enormous, and it became either a virtuous or a vicious cycle, depending on what side of the trade you were on, right?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
And so all of a sudden you got guys buying this stuff who are part of the, you know, army of the Wall Street guys. And they got what I would call a corner. They had more stock than existed.
Okay.
And, you know, they went for broke, and they nailed it.
Yeah.
Because what typically happens when guys, I want to say collude, I don't know if that's the right word, because that may infer it was illegal, but they in combination bought up the stock. And typically what happens is it's a little bit of a dilemma in that. So if you and I buy up all the stock, right, and the price is going up, as long as you and I don't sell, that price keeps going up.
Okay.
But let's say you're like, well, I got to get out before Morris does, right? So when you sell, it depresses the price. All of a sudden now I got to fight with you to sell. That pushes the price down. These guys didn't do that. They just kept buying. And when the market went down, more guys came in. Yep. And then the more guys,
buy the
right?
Dip. Yep. Buy the dip. Yep. The message board was just incredible. It was just a real-time rolling commentary.
Of diamonds and rocket ships and rainbows. Ship. And
exactly. Exactly. Buy the dip. Hold your line. That's become their theme is hold your line.
Yeah. Hold your line. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Right from the Mel Gibson. The guy who's been accused of being a drunk anti-Semite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know him.
Yeah. I saw him introduced by Ricky Gervais on one of the Golden Globes, and he was drinking a beer on stage, and it's like, I like a beer as much as the next guy, unless the next guy is Mel Gibson.
Yep.
So, can I steer the conversation a little bit? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I'm actually pretty excited about this because I have a Bloomberg screen, which I have covered up. And the reason is, it's 6:06 on the East Coast, okay? Yep. Silver is trading. Now, why do I mention silver? Silver, because these Wall Street Bets guys are now going after silver.
Yep.
Now, why does that hold a special place in old Chestnut's heart? Well, you may recall listening to a Market Huddle podcast several months ago where old Chestnut talked about liking the metals. And I had for a long time a long position in gold, and then which I still do. And then when it became clear to me Uncle Joe Biden was going to become president, I bought a bunch of silver because I figured, well, he's got all this green energy stuff. And I don't know exactly what, but silver and green energy's got something to do with it. And there was some like mathematical reasons why I like the silver options. So I went in full boat on the silver stuff too, right? And that was also around August 6th, which was the high of gold and probably the highest silver and my 60th birthday, right? So the thing completely stuffed me. Because, you know, here's me thinking I figured something smart. And it goes right in the crapper. And I was feeling pretty down about myself. And then silver started to pick up a little bit. And then on Wednesday, the Wall Street Bet guys started coming in. And Thursday and Friday, they came in and bought a biblical amount of out-of-the-money calls on silver.
Okay.
Yep. And these are things that in the last year or so I've trafficked in. And so I think their approach has been relatively unsophisticated, but that doesn't mean it can't work.
Okay.
And so the reason I have the Bloomberg screen covered up is because I don't want to see what the price of silver is doing right now, because I'll be distracted. And then all I'll think about is either, hooray, how much money I'm making, or why isn't this blankety blank thing higher? I'm depressed. And I want to focus on you.
Thank you.
It's all about you, Liam, right?
Yep. I saw this happening. And I didn't even want to bring it up to you. I didn't want to waste your time because, like I said, half of the stuff on there is nonsense. But when I heard the whispers about Silver, I said, all right, you know, do I even bother Morris about this? And then I saw, you know, then I just caved and I sent you that, and you sent back, you know, they're treating it like a lottery ticket. Okay.
So, yes. That, which, by the way, can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the salient point. Okay. If you're a loser and you go into a bodega and you feel like I got a dollar and a dream, right? And you buy a lottery ticket. Okay. You don't affect the outcome. Doesn't matter how many lottery tickets you buy, okay? When those ping pong balls come out of the thing, ain't going to change how those ping pong balls come out. You go in and you start buying options. As I said earlier, the market makers have to take the other side by buying some stock.
Yeah.
That's how it's a lottery ticket in name only. But it's more of a, you know, Heisenberg uncertainty principle where the act of measuring changes the outcome.
Yep.
So I think it's a pretty fascinating thing. And now there's a couple of things. If I could just kind of talk my book.
Yep.
General Motors, like on Friday, said by 2035, they won't be making any combustion engines anymore.
End of the ice age. No more combustion engines for GM.
Yeah. So by the stuff I've read, the electric cars use three times the amount of silver that a regular car does between the battery and then the computer chips.
Yep.
Okay. Plus now, Uncle Joe's got this idea. We're going to have a big infrastructure plan. We're going to work on the electrical grid. You know, it's, I keep telling myself silver, silver, silver. I'll be honest with you. That's more of a hope than a logical analysis. But you know what? Sometimes dreams do come true. And maybe we're at one of those junctures.
And now, when I want to look at silver, am I looking at SLV, iShares Silver Trust, or am I looking at the PSLV where it's physical silver? Are you using the Sprott Physical Silver Trust?
Well, it's a little bit – I'll give you an answer, but it's a little bit out of my comfort zone because I don't want to give – I don't want to say in particular what anybody should do.
No, just for me to follow the price.
I understand. The thing I like about the SLV is it's run by one of these very large ETF companies.
Okay.
I forget exactly what, but I read the prospectus, and it is a legitimate situation. So not saying the other one isn't.
Okay.
But I just – it's a much smaller setup, and – in this situation with the SLV, I just went with it's secure, it's safe, it's sort of the easy one. A lot of people trade the futures.
Okay.
What I liked about this SLV thing is it's a trust and you own it and time doesn't run out. So like, for instance, if I owned... this is February, basically, right? January 31st. So if I own the March silver contract, I have to sell it by the end of March, enroll it into whatever the next active contract is, or stand for delivery. And futures exchanges, they don't like you taking delivery of stuff. It's a pain. They want you trading and collecting the fees, right?
Okay.
And plus... exchanges have way more rights to, you know, jerk you around than this kind of ownership in a trust, right?
Okay.
And I just think from a perfecting your interest, owning the silver trust is the way to go for me. Some people, they buy, you know, silver coins. Some people buy, you know, silver bars. There's lots of ways to do it. And by the way, this is not me trying to persuade you what you should do. What this came out of this discussion that the Wall Street guys are picking on silver.
Yep.
Now, yep. What's weird about this is, while I hope they're right, they're going to be right for the wrong reasons, because they made all this money in GameStop because they were the bully picking on the little kid. Not that the hedge funds were the little kid, but it was a small stock. Okay. It was a couple billion bucks, right?
Sure. Yeah.
There's a lot of silver out there. Okay. And yeah. You got real institutional players that, you know, they mine it and they can deliver it to you.
Yeah.
And they've come up with this fantasy that there's this, you know, quote, paper short.
Yep.
Well, okay, there's a paper long against that paper short. So
right.
Now, like I said, they could be right for the wrong reasons. And in the end, in my book, you know, the test of your ability is whether yields a result, not whether you're intellectually right.
So there's the reason I hesitated to send it to you was because it seemed like the impetus for their silver, you know, move was, all right, they're going to drive up the price of silver, and that way they can attack the big institutions. All right, all the big banks hold the silver, and if they squeeze, which to me just seemed like pie in the sky, right?
Delusions of grandeur.
Okay, thank you. All right, so that was why I hesitated to even waste your time.
Well, but going back and talking about the GameStop, what happened there? Right, they found a lot of good reasons, right? And that was the kindling. And then the spark was the fact that the short got too big.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's look at the silver thing. You have commodity prices are trending up. You have money supply growth up 25% or something year over year, which is mondo. They're arguing, they just came with a $900 billion stimulus package?
I think it was eight.
Okay. Now they're coming. I mean, it's now 600 bid at $1.9 billion, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're just, and I'm not going to get into a big debate about whether they're printing money or this or that, but there is a lot of money floating around, and that's starting to push the price of stuff up. Okay. So you have that, you have the green energy stuff, because apparently solar cells use some energy.
Okay.
Medical stuff uses some silver. When they use silver in cycling jerseys, the guys don't stink as much.
Right.
Maybe they could find a significant other, help them wash their kit once in a while.
So you're, I won't name names. All right. So you're looking at
what is it with these guys? You know, that you'll be climbing up Round Hill Road on Wednesday night. Right. And well, you will, I'm too old for that, but you'll get behind some guy and you're sucking down air, like through a straw, and the guy in front of you just stinks.
Yep. Yeah.
What is it?
You know, and they're on a $7,000 bike, so that just befuddles me how they'll have $7,000 lying around for the bike, and they're wearing a 4-year-old threadbare kit. Yeah, it's those people are sick. Anyone doing Wednesday night is out of their mind anyway. So let's leave it.
Yes, we've boycotted the Wednesday night ride.
Right, exactly. We've moved on. So if I wanted to hop on the silver bandwagon, so I'm just asking in theory, you know.
Please don't. Just watch.
All right. No, the stupid question. If I do, does that help you? The more people that buy, if this thing,
the
picks
more
up
people, momentum, yeah, the more people that buy, put, yeah. But for karma reasons, if you buy, it's going to put as Kevin Muir would say, you'd goocher it.
Okay.
All right. I don't speak Canadian. Right. I've learned this new language, HODL and YOLO.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
HODL, YOLO, and tendies, okay, as in chicken tenders. Okay. Tendies is slang for profit. So if you're focused on your silver tendies, okay.
Okay.
So I just want to help you. I just want to help you get tendies, all right?
You know, the one I like is snapping the band on a stack of Benjis.
Okay. Wow. I'm not hip to that. That must be from your youngest daughter. That's put.
I actually think it was from Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Yeah, at least I didn't stutter. So, I don't know. I've said many, many times that the very thought that I'm involved mm-hmm. in precious metals, mm-hmm. it goes against everything. It goes against everything I stand for.
Right. No, I understand. I understand. And here you are. But now this has got to be exciting for you. This is better than, otherwise you're not looking at the screen on Sunday night watching what's going on, or are you?
You know, when I traded, I was so in the zone mm-hmm. that it was 24/7, 365. Okay. Even when the market was closed,
yep.
I was thinking about stuff because we ran, had a lot of positions, a lot of risk, and I was young and it was exciting. And yep. But at this point, I personally have a great deal of exposure here,
yep.
Way more than I should at this point in my life, just mm-hmm. because I'm trying to see if I can do something different.
Okay.
I'm finding it incredibly exhausting.
Yep.
You know,
Morris, I felt great when I got out of GameStop. I felt great because I'll be honest, I had to take a nap at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and take my nap, you know? I couldn't sleep because the market was open and the numbers are still going. So when I finally said I've had enough, I'm picking up pennies in front of the bulldozer here. I'm out. And then I went to sleep and I was in peace, you know?
Do you want to hear about one of the first big personal trade I ever did?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not talking about my little bowling thing.
Yeah.
It's I forget the year. You can go back and check because I know you fact check me on everything.
Right. Yep.
But I think it was let's say 1984.
Okay.
I'm living in New York and maybe it was 85, it had to be 85 because I was married by then. And I'm at Aubrey Lansdon, and we had one of those telex machines where news stories would come across. And if it was an important news story, a bell would go off, right?
Okay.
So the bell went off, and I went and I read it, and it basically said that in, I think, Sweden, they were picking up signs of radiation coming from Russia. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got out the map and I'm looking and I see the area that it looks like this radiation may be coming from. And I called up Cheryl and I said, what goes on in this area? Because she's really good with geography and stuff. And she says, that's where they grow all the wheat.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, so there's radiation near where they grow the wheat. Well, that's going to push the price of wheat up. So I'm from Chicago, and a man who has since passed away ran a firm that I knew about and had a futures account with. And I called the fellow up and I said, look, something big's going on. I explained the whole story to him. I said, I'd like to buy some, but I only have very little money, but I wanted to tell you, I think this is a pretty good idea. What do you say? And he said, MB, wait 10 minutes, call your trading desk and tell them what you want to do. I'm like, okay, great. So I called the trading desk and I said, hi, this is Morris Sachs. I think my account was 77735.
Okay.
And They said, okay, Mr. Sachs, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I'd like to buy some wheat. And the guy says, okay, how much? I said, I don't know.
All of it?
and the guy says, well, Mr. So-and-so said you can buy whatever you want.
Okay.
So I'm like 24, 25 years old, right? And so I forget how much I bought. I mean, for being 24, 25 and not having any money and, yeah, you know, whatever it was a lot.
Okay.
Whatever the number was. And wheat had gone up like 3 or 4 cents when I bought it. And it traded well the rest of the day. I want to say it was like a Thursday.
Okay.
And Friday, the thing really starts to move. And I go home Friday night, and now, like, I haven't slept. I'm completely fried. And, like, just, this is sounds awful, but just the nervous anxiety, the odor that I would, right? Just that.
Absolutely, yep.
And
yeah, stress sweat. Yeah, absolutely.
And the thing was up limit for, like, 2 or 3 days in a row and crushed it.
Yeah.
Crushed it. And I, you know, I can't say I owe it all to Cheryl, but it was a perfect match, right? Because, you know, she had the information and I knew how to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
So that was, when you talk about, like, you know, being dialed in and, mm-hmm, and how good you felt when you got out of stuff. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm, it's like learning to read your emotions when you trade. It's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think if I can leave you with anything out of what's happened with this last week, make a conscious decision. Are you going to do this right and make money at it? Or are you going to fart around, you know, for having some yucks?
Yep.
Because I'm not a big believer in doing anything without taking it seriously. And I don't know. I think you've got the skill and the talent to really make something of yourself with this thing. And I can understand, by the way, completely understand how exciting this can be, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the appeal of it.
It's the dopamine rush that you get. Absolutely. It's like when it works. Yeah. And
9:30 the bell rings and it's like it's just like the starting gun at Leadville where you can feel the adrenaline go and you're watching the screen and it's fantastic. Like you said, it's a dopamine rush. My friend who's a high school teacher, there's a stock club in his school.
I met that guy
at my bachelor party, you guys talked, okay?
But he was the guy. He was the guy we met mountain biking up by Stewart.
Nope, different guy. Different guy.
Okay.
But he's the stock club at his school. All right, he teaches down on the main line in Philadelphia. Right. He's got plenty of wealthy kids in the school. The stock club. The teacher said, "Jeff, I have to shut it down because these kids are out of control." But before I do, he had someone from Gamblers Anonymous come in.
That's it. Yes. Yes.
Because he said the kids are getting the dopamine fix off of this. There's kids that are up. There's kids making money, you know, fooling around with their Robinhood accounts. Yes. And they said, I have to stop it. It's gotten out of control for these high school kids.
I like to say at cocktail parties after I've had a couple, mm-hmm, the difference between me and a compulsive gambler is that, mm-hmm, I make money at this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what it is. It's strictly gambling. And like I said, when I'm giving my tips to my buddies in the firehouse and they're giving it to their 10 friends, it's no different than us going to the casino and spinning the roulette wheel. It's the same dopamine rush. It's gambling. It's not long-term looking at your future investing, which is what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, what are we trying to do here? I mean, look, I completely acknowledge the fact that this is a whole new you know, regime from what I've seen in my career. Mm-hmm. So I get it. It's incredibly fascinating. And like that list of books that I like all the young traders to read, mm-hmm. but maybe one day you'll post that on the website so yep. people can see it. But one of them is Among the Thugs by Bill Buford. And the reason I have the younger people read that is because you need to understand not just the power of the crowd and the mob, but how people become consumed by the moment. And it's almost like the crowd becomes one mind.
Yep.
And that's what's happened with this thing. But what I want to get to, though, is I really think that as we talk on these Sundays, I'd really like to try and move you towards understanding a better or hopefully a good approach tailored for you mm-hmm. about, you know, you got a wife, you got a daughter, right? I know, you know, hopes and dreams, college mm-hmm. education, house, mm-hmm. you know, visits to Ireland to rejuvenate the, right? The,
yep.
The luck of the Irish.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Is Amy Irish?
Nope. Half Irish, half Russian, Polish. Yeah. Oh. That's the edge that she has. That Russian.
Not German Irish. My Kropnik friend.
No, it's the Polish Russian that is, you know, that's the hard edge that she has.
That's a tough nut.
That's why I'm afraid of her.
Oh man. So you got a couple of feet of snow coming, huh?
Yep. The snow's coming. And you know what? It's nice because the kids are going to have a snow day. All right. So the kids have been gypped out of snow days in this world we live in. And it's just, I just think it's nice that they're going to get a legit snow day rather than going full remote. The schools are just a disaster. So the kids will stay home and they'll hop on their Robinhood account and they're going to drive up GME and AMC. And that's the reality though. I joke, but I'm not kidding. You know, anybody can go on, hop on their phone and there's no difference between me and a fourth grader with $100 doing it. It's frightening to me.
Well, you heard about that poor kid that he took his own life because he thought he dug himself a 700,000. This was like 6 months ago, a year ago.
Yep.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
my Lord, that's just frightening. Terrible.
Yeah. So that's the market that we're dealing with today. But I've got to say it was a historical week. I would think when you've got people up in arms making the hedge funds out to be the bad guys. Which okay.
By the way, I kind of like that.
Okay. All right.
you know, it's like you. I get 100, you know, when I win, I get 20%. When I lose, mm-hmm. I don't lose anything.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You know, if people sign up for that, I mean, you know, I don't know. We're out of time, I see, but, you know, I guess I didn't even get a chance to badmouth Bitcoin.
No, go ahead. Take 10 minutes.
I got to have something to... talk about next week, and 10 minutes isn't going to do it justice.
Okay. I lost my microphone. All right. Can you sign off for me? Can you say goodbye?
I think I lost you.
I lost you too. You got me? I'm back. I'm back on.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll leave it there.